everybody. Welcome. Welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who does not take it real seriously.
But who also doesn't have to take a long look over his shoulder before starting the show. So I'm wondering what's going on in your house.
Well, from my seat here, if I look to the right, I can see our garage. And I think someone might be in there.
Oh, okay.
They shouldn't be.
Do they want to come on the show?
I don't know. Maybe. Everyone in the family is in the house.
Right.
So if there's someone in there, that's a problem. I do know there's a mouse in there.
Oh, okay.
We were driving home from our parade tonight, and as we got closer to the house, Erin said, and I said, what? She said, I'll tell you later. And then turns out she didn't want to freak the girls out or anything, but we were apparently following a mouse into the garage when we drove in, and the mouse just dove into a hole in our wall.
Okay, well that's...
And now there's this mouse in our wall. We have two cats!
Right.
What are these cats for? What are they doing?
You know what you do? Here's the thing. You close the garage door, right? Mm-hmm. Open up the door between the house and the garage. Is it one of those?
No.
You don't have one of those? Yeah.
We do have one of those, yeah. I don't like where this is going.
And then you let both cats out there, and they will solve that shit for you.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a plan that I like even better, which is bring the cats out there, which is like your plan, but then shove them in the hole
that
the mouse went into.
Oh, I mean, unless it's a really big hole.
It's a pretty big hole.
Probably not a mouse. Might be a possum.
Oh, no. Yeah. It's a scale thing. It confused Erin, but it's actually a possum. Do you see that possums are getting, is it possums? Possums are becoming domesticated. So are raccoons.
I know raccoons actually, I read, will self-domesticate like cats will. Like if they're with other domesticated animals, they'll just self-domesticate. Like, oh.
That's great.
Yeah. I get fed out of people's hands now. I don't need to be outside anymore.
I don't know why you would choose to be outside.
No, it's very cold.
It's a very easy option.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about parades?
Yeah, I mean, it's that time of year. It's parade season.
Parade season. I think it's time. We need to have a national conversation about parades.
Mm-hmm.
They have to stop. You have to stop doing parades. Parades are the worst. They've always been the worst.
Mm-hmm.
They've never been good. And it's time we all just agreed and moved on.
What was your parade and celebration of tonight, I wonder?
Thank you for asking. It was Christmas. It was a Christmas parade.
But that's not for a while.
Well, it's December 1st as we record this, so we got 3.5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
However, in their defense, you know, the big one was on Thanksgiving Day, as it so often is.
Mm-hmm. Wait.
The big one, the Starting Gun Parade.
Okay, so they did a parade last Thursday.
No. The Macy's Parade.
Right. Oh, okay. Your town didn't do back-to-back parades.
Oh my God.
They don't have that kind of budget.
I would just burn this place to the ground. No, and frankly, I'm surprised they had the budget for this one. As parades go, it was a fine parade, but a bad parade. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It was cold. And it's just, there's people, and just watch. You just sit there. Here's what a parade is. You stand there in the cold, or if it's 4th of July, it's, you know, very hot. And you stand there for like an hour and a half while vehicles move very slowly past you. That is the most frustrating speed for any vehicle to go under any circumstance, any context. And so you stand there and you watch that, and then you watch people, and you watch a bunch of untalented people try to do talent things.
It's a shame.
The only parade I will allow is the Macy's Day Parade. At least those are talented people doing talented stuff.
Right.
And I can watch it from my couch and I can turn it off.
Well, the watching from the couch is a big part of that, because really one of the big draws of the Macy's Day Parade is the weather is always terrible. And so you're sitting there in your snuggled up little couch, you know, drinking a little bit of Bailey's in with your coffee in the morning and watching a bunch of, you know, college women dressed in leotards at no backs freeze their hair off on the streets in New York.
It's enjoyable. There's something special about that.
Did you watch any of the Macy's Day Parade this year?
I watched some of it. I watched some of it.
Did you see all of the string of 90s rappers that were involved?
I saw Busta Rhymes on the TMNT float.
Okay. So there's Busta Rhymes.
Yeah.
Shaggy performed.
Didn't see that.
Shaggy was delightful. Who else performed? I'll have to go back and check. I have to go back and check the tape. But yeah, Busta and Shaggy, those were two pretty big highlights for me.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Foreigner also performed.
I'll tell you what, they all look so old.
Foreigner look like they're about ready to die.
Yeah, I am sure they can't be the original band. They look terrible. I mean, Busta looked good, except he looked like an uncle. He looked like an old uncle, which is not a look I ever thought I would see on Busta. But he looked good. He looked good. The other best part of the Macy's Parade, of course, is then watching the Today Show crowd just like try to dance in their seats. Mm-hmm. That's also enjoyable. How about you? Any parades coming up? Or
no. In my neck of the woods, we do one parade. It's on 4th of July because that, you know, the weather's usually pretty pleasant then. Mm-hmm. But nothing in the winter months. No.
I tell you, we need a good spring or fall parade.
Yeah,
if we're going to do it, we need an Easter parade. Go back to Easter parade.
Exactly.
I think New York does an Easter parade still.
Probably.
Aaron talks about the Easter parade.
In the Easter parade.
Yeah. It's a whole song about it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's got to be it.
But they all dressed up and they wear the big fancy hats. Mm-hmm. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
I like a big hat. Bigger the hat, the better.
Mm-hmm.
I want a hat that covers my whole family.
I want a hat that my family's riding on, actually, as we go down the street. That's what I want.
You don't have the neck strength for that.
You would be surprised. My family is slight of stature, and my hat is mighty.
Oh, gosh. Well. Here we are. It's another week on the podcast. And as we so often do, I would like to tell you a ghost story.
Cool.
Do you think that would be okay?
Yeah, I will accept that.
Okay. Do you have any other fun like tidbits or anything you want to share before?
Boy, not really. Real cold here. Snowing a whole bunch.
I saw that.
A bunch of people got the snow this week. And then we got more snow today. So
We've had no snow yet. We do have supposedly an ice storm coming tomorrow. They've already canceled all the schools tomorrow.
Oh, no.
It's one of those towns.
That is the worst feeling to go to bed with when you have children.
Oh, my God.
Is when they cancel the night before and you're like, I have nothing to look forward to now. At least when I woke up, I could look forward to them not canceling school.
Right. And you've stripped me of that even. And here's the thing. Maple School is closed. The daycare. She sends an email. Okay. She sent an email at like 4 o'clock today. Mm-hmm. And she was like, we're probably going to do a late start because of the snow. And they're like, we'll keep you posted. Maybe like 9:30. And then by the time we get back from the parade, there was another email from her. And it was like, okay, we're doing a late start at 10 o'clock. So that's, and this, she's just priming it. She's going to cancel. Right. She's going to.
Absolutely.
I tell you, daycare opens at 8 o'clock, like goddamn clockwork. At 7:15, she's going to email and be like, sorry, everyone, we're closed.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. And you know who doesn't, whose place of the day is not closed? Mine. I got to go to work. I got to teach tomorrow. My school's open.
Whew. Goodness.
Aaron's work is open. So. I hate it here. In the world.
Right. Yeah. Here, yeah. Yeah. The basement's very nice. It's a very nice basement.
Basement's okay. All right. Well, then I guess we're ready for a story, huh?
Yeah.
Nope.
He walked out the door and he gave him the knob whacking of his life.
I have to say thank you to listener Amity.
For
submitting this story, yeah.
Oh, wow. Somebody named Amity. After a horror.
As in the Vill horror. Amity's been listening for a long time, and she sent in these notes for this story several months ago. And I've just been sitting on them because I'm bad at getting around to stuff. But tonight, get around we shall.
Excellent.
And so thank you, Amity, for submitting this story and doing all the research and everything. All right, she did submit. It comes with a quick content trigger warning right off the jump.
Should I listen?
I don't know. Should we? I mean,
I won't listen.
No. Okay. Patrick's not listening. This one does include references to the Civil War and slavery, the KKK, a lynching, sexual assault, and various brutal deaths and murders. So, honestly, pretty par for the course. Patrick, come back.
Okay.
Hey, should we do trigger warnings every episode? Because a lot of this is very well trod territory, and we haven't really done them much.
I don't need the trigger warnings for me.
I'm constantly in a state of trigger.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I can no longer really be triggered.
All right, challenge accepted. Okay, so here we go. John Richard Dyer was born in 1833 in New York. We don't know if he was born in New York State or New York City specifically.
Mm-hmm.
We do know he was born in New York
kind
State.
Kind of vague. Okay.
A little vague. Yeah. A little vague. It's 1833. There's not a lot. There's no. These records are suspect at best. John Dyer's, his father was John Dyer. Different John Dyer, though.
Oh, it wasn't him?
No, it's not him. It's not, this is not a time travel, like time loop, weird sex story.
Yeah, the sequel to The Time Traveler's Wife got real fucking weird there at the end.
Audrey Niffenegger did way too many drugs. Let's see. His mother's name was Angeline. When they had John Jr., John Sr. was 34 years old, and Angeline was 19.
Oh, okay. Let me see. The half plus seven rule is... It's not close. It's a societal rule. It's a societal rule.
Based on, and this is like everyone agrees on this.
Yeah, yeah. This is an easy one actually. Yeah,
half plus seven.
Half plus seven rule. Yeah, everyone.
Okay, what age do you? What age does the older party have to be to start counting that way? Because like if they're 20,
Well, and it's eventually it does cross over, and you have to start dating people that are older than you if you do the half plus seven rule. Like if you're 2 years old, you have to date somebody who is 8 years old, and that doesn't,
you can't do a negative,
and then it violates their half plus seven. So it's, but you know,
okay.
In this case, it is.
So the limit does exist.
It does exist. Correct.
It does exist, but to a point. If we start at puberty, though. Mm-hmm. For both parties specifically, not just one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's not be greedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Boy, this is off to a good start.
So let's see. What is that? 34?
So are they fine? So 34.
So that's 17 plus 7. It's 24.
Yeah.
So we're not close.
So no.
We're on the wrong side of it here. Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't. Is true love is true love. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet that's probably what this was. John was their oldest child, and they would go on to have three more sons in pretty quick succession. They had Benjamin Franklin Dyer.
Oh, I know him.
No, it's a different. Oh, I'm sorry, it's a different same. One.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Dwight Dyer in 1838, and Martin Van Buren Dyer in 1840.
I also remember him. Yeah, I know all these guys.
This is a really famous family. So they got a theme going on.
Mm-hmm.
That John didn't hit that.
Yeah. Did they just come back from Disney World? They were like,
we saw this great Hall of Presidents.
Your name will be Martin Van Buren Dyer. Your name will be Dwight Eisenhower Dyer. And your name will be People Mover Dyer. And I mean, it was the third best thing we saw.
Yeah. Not only did they, these boys did great. They didn't die. None of them died in infancy.
Mm-hmm. Even though their name literally suggests it. Like it's
yes, correct. The irony. Irony is what saves you in the 19th century. Amity goes so far as to include the very helpful note that Benjamin died when he was 57, Dwight died when he was 50, and Martin when he was 60.
Spoiler alert,
Amity. So, these aren't our ghosts. So.
Oh, well, obviously.
This is just helpful, fun information.
Okay.
Okay. In 1860... when John, we're talking about,
right.
Not the dad,
right?
Original John,
yeah.
Our original story, John, not the original John,
right? Yeah,
as far as the planet is concerned,
yeah. Johnny Two,
Uh-huh. When he was 27, he ends up in a town called Collin, Texas.
Oh, sounds nice.
It sounds way better than New York. I had never heard of Collin, Texas, so I thought it'd be nice to look up some information on that town. And the internet is a real desert landscape on that one. There's not a lot out there. I did learn that slavery had a weak hold there at this time, and the folks in Collin County actually voted against secession.
Huh. Interesting.
So, yeah, a little blue dot down there in northern Texas.
A little awkward when the war breaks out, admittedly.
It's so uncomfortable. So uncomfortable. Wish you could have that vote back, huh?
Oh, it's like cutting a fart in church. Like, everyone's looking. Everyone knows it's you.
The moment it happens, it feels good. But immediately afterward, you're like, oh, no.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
No one else is farting in church.
Kind of thought I'd start a fart in church thing, but it's not happening.
Maybe next week.
So I guess it's not the worst place in Texas for a northerner to end up, I guess. Mm. On September 27th, 1860, John marries a woman named Perlina Ann Powell. Oh, they get to work having kids. The next year, they give birth to Belle Dyer.
Hmm.
Year after that, they have Thomas E. Dyer. And in 1864, they welcome Cordelia Louisa Dyer.
Hmm.
So they have a normal life.
Hmm.
Everything is cool. All except the moving to Texas part. Mm-hmm. That's weird. Weird choice, but otherwise, great. Otherwise, no problems for the Dyers. John does end up joining the Civil War eventually, presumably fighting on behalf of the South. Probably
it's
making up for that.
Vote. Yeah, it's an awkward place to fight for the North.
Yeah.
You know.
I got to build the biggest wall around my house. Hold on.
To take a train for 14 days to get up far enough that people don't ask me what the uniform is all about.
So I can turn around and march back down here and burn my own house to the ground. Pretty excited about it.
Daddy, why do you keep calling me scum? Well, I'm practicing.
But fighting Northerners, so he does end up joining the Civil War eventually. It takes him a few years and he's like, all right, fine, I'll do it. Yeah. Get my back. But fighting Northerners about slavery, it's not where his passion lies. So after a few months of doing that, he's like, you know what? You know what, everybody? Hey, everyone, family meeting. Mm-hmm. Come here. Come on, children, gather around.
Right here on the battlefield.
Right here. Duck.
Let me pull up a corpse for you.
Boys, there you go. Right there. This one's still soft. Pack your things, everybody. We're Californians now.
This is the play I would have made in the Civil War.
Absolutely.
I'll be honest with you. I like to think I'd be all high and mighty. Absolutely not. There's nobody living in San Diego right now. That's where I'm headed.
That's the best place to be, then or now. If you desert the Civil War, no one is going to come find you over the Rocky Mountains.
Mm-mm. No, sir.
No. That was a lesson of Cold Mountain, I think. He went home. Back the normal way, he should have gone all the way around over the Rockies and then doubled back, and they would have been fine. Let's see. So they head out west. He leaves the army, and they settle on a piece of land in Alverta, California.
Mm.
This is in Sacramento County.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, pretty north central.
There's a lot of other places to live in California.
Maybe he didn't know about, though. Maybe he didn't know that there was a coast.
Is he going to farm? He's going to farm, isn't he? That's a farming area.
It feels farmy.
It does feel. That's the Central Valley.
Especially at this time, for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's see. Dyers move. They settle in. And they're fine. And John looks around and he says, well, I've done about all I can do on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And he dies.
Okay.
And we don't know why or of what, but he's gone. He's out of the picture.
Hmm. How old is he at this point?
Gosh, hard to say. He is approximately, where did my dates go here? I don't know. He's like almost 40.
Okay.
So a good long life.
Yeah, a rich old life. Yeah. Yep. Avoids the Civil War, drags his family across the Rockies, and drops dead as soon as he gets there.
Yep, he did his duty.
Sounds like dysentery. That's what it sounds like. Really sounds like dysentery.
Yeah, should not have tried to ford that river.
Absolutely not.
Let's see. So he dies, and then for all I know, based on the notes that Amity has sent here, the entire family dissolves into the fucking ether when he goes because no further family history has been provided.
Okay, this story so far. Really sounds like a dead end. Really. I mean, the dead's dead, and we have no history of anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the ghost was the story that we told all along, because it's dead. But this story is not about the family. The story is about the property that's named after the family.
Oh, okay. All right. It took us a while to get here.
Yeah. 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 So you would be shocked if I told you the timestamp right now. It's been 4 minutes. Feels like eternity. property is the important part. So the Dire land had some, it was like normal. It was normal land. There was dirt and there was grass and you had to cross it sometimes.
Sure.
And if you want to cross like a classic American piece of land, you're going to take like a classic American, like dirt path, classic America stuff. And then, so there's paths all over.
Yes, absolutely.
Hither and yon.
How else would you get from one place to the next unless
there's exactly a path? Right. Yeah. You're going to take this, you need a path. And so as Sacramento goes kicking and screaming into the 20th century, land in the area, of course, becomes developed. And these little dirt paths are turned into big old roads. Roads now.
Yeah.
Paths become roads. And one such dirt path that became one such big old road is a road called Dire Lane.
Okay.
It's named after the Dire. That's why we did the whole.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
But not Diane Lane.
No, Dire Lane.
Okay, not Diane Lane.
No, no, her horribly disfigured twin, Dire Lane. They do not let her out of the house. So Dire Lane, on the Dyer's old property, it is now one of the most haunted roads in the entire country.
A haunted throughway.
Interesting. Yes, indeed.
A haunted thoroughfare.
Our first story begins in the year 1932. This is the year when witches begin to meet in the field alongside Dire Lane.
Sure.
The witches are meeting to practice their craft. And in this case, when we say witches, we mean Wiccans.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
And when I say practicing their craft, I mean doing nonsense. They're out there doing their nonsense. And depending on the source that you find for this, this group is either locally known as a coven or a cult. Some people are like, that's a witch's coven. That's fine. Some people are like, I think there might be a cult.
Interesting. Different connotations.
For sure. Cult,
much more male, you know.
Yeah. Coven. Because that's true. It has to be at least one male to be a cult, because if you don't have a male, who's having sex with all the women? I've seen a few Netflix specials on cults.
Yeah.
And the ratio has got to be 1 to 30.
Yeah.
You got to have that one though. It's important.
If you had a cult with no men, it was just women, they would just go disappear off into the country and never bother anybody ever again. So they don't have a name for it.
Yeah. A disappearance.
Yeah.
A disappearance of women. So Amity's research suggests now, and this is where Amity and I are going to disagree for a bit. Her research says that a coven refers to a trio of witches specifically.
Oh, I don't know about that.
And I don't think that's right, because I think Agatha Harkness would beg to differ quite strongly. But she claims that she found proof that it's a trio, but I don't think that makes. I don't a trio of witches a coven does not make. I think, but. Whatever. I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter.
It's very Shakespearean, though.
It is a little Shakespearean. Mm-hmm.
Which one has the witches in it? I don't.
Macbeth.
Oh, we're not supposed to say it.
We're not in the theater. It's fine.
Oh, okay. It's fine.
If you want to be double safe, you can spin around in your chair 3 times and say the foulest curse word you can think of and then spit over your shoulder.
I have the headphones plugged in. I don't think I'm going to do that. It's
going to be really tough. All right. Let's take the luck. Whatever the right number for the coven is, this particular group consisted of 6 witches.
Oh, so 2 covens.
That's what Amity said, yeah.
That's fine.
I'm going to call them 1 coven.
That's okay. It's your show.
Thank you. So I don't want to split warts here, but I think it's 1 coven. So these witches go out. They go to Dire Lane regularly, like once a week or whatever, and they weave their magic or frolics. I don't know what they do out there.
Probably just a book club, frankly.
Do you think we have any Wiccans listening to this podcast?
Has to.
It feels like a pretty good fit, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
Unless everybody getting pissed off and left, which is also
that's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah. Is maybe we did for the first dozen or so episodes. Now we do not.
Yeah. Anyway, if you're out there, these are jokes. I don't. They're not reflective of anyone's necessarily real beliefs and thoughts about Wiccans.
Yeah, and please stop mailing me asking for pieces of my hair. I'm not sending it. It's just not happening. No.
Fool me once. Yeah. Absolutely not.
Yeah. The last envelope I sent was Clayton's hair. Just so anybody
knows. Hey!
I'm sorry.
God. Boy, that explains a lot.
I had the hairbrush. I had that hairbrush sitting on my bed for months. What was I supposed to do with it?
I knew I shouldn't have put that down there. I knew you'd abuse the privilege. Anyway, so they go out there regularly. One night while they're out there, a group of four young men happen to be out along the road also, and they hear the women doing their noises or whatever.
Yeah, incanting.
Incanting, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so they creep up and they watch for a while. Of course you would. Of course. Is that? It's like, I don't even know why it's in here. I didn't even make a note of that. You didn't have to. It's pointless. Of course they wouldn't watch. Now they're watching and they come back a few times. They're like, this is interesting. And I think this happens a lot. Let's keep coming back and watching.
Right. Yeah. This is before Netflix. So
yeah. Yeah.
There's not really much
I'll else. I'll tell you. And this sounds like a lot of shows that are on Netflix these days. So they got something going on here. And in 1934, it was on a particular night, these boys decided to do a little bit more than watch. While the women were out there doing their thing, the guys snuck up on them and did a, I guess, raided the coven, I guess is a
really
way to say it. Yeah. Oof. And they grabbed two of them
from the group.
The other four managed to run away into the woods. They escaped.
Mm-hmm.
But the other two were not so lucky. The boys took turns sexually assaulting
these
women. And that was one of the trigger warnings that you opted out of at the beginning of the show. And I bet
not pleasant.
No. While this is going on, the witches are screaming curses at them.
Mm-hmm.
Also threatening to call the cops.
Okay.
So it's practical
and
also mystical.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah. One of the boys then strangles one of them to try to get her to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And he strangles too hard. She does stop.
Mm-hmm.
The other woman, she gets free and she runs away. But one of the other men then throws a big rock at her while she runs off. It hits her on the head and it kills her pretty instantly.
Hmm.
So those two women didn't make it, unfortunately. If there is some solace to be found here, though, it is that the curse they put on the boys seems to have worked.
Oh, okay.
All four of the young men soon died under mysterious and unnatural circumstances.
Okay.
One of them was run over by a truck.
Mm-hmm.
One of them died 3 weeks later in the hospital.
Okay.
I suppose unnaturally. One of those big EKG machines fell right on his head.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And he's out of there. Ironically, his heart, perfect.
But all that remained.
About 4 months after the incident, the third boy was mugged in the streets of Los Angeles. He was stabbed in the stomach and bled to death.
Oh.
And let's see, the last boy died in a skiing accident in which he hit a tree head on and died instantly.
Huh. Okay.
So 1, 2, 3, 4.
Mm-hmm.
Bingo, bango, bongo.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly, if you see the ghosts of these witches in the fields today, you will be cursed and also die.
Oh.
It's left a bad stain on their mouth.
Sure. Yeah. I had nothing to do with this.
No. And you could try to explain that to them, I guess.
I would. I. You know, I have time.
You know what? You look a lot like boy number two, though.
Mm.
Oh, no.
Okay.
You got the same thing going on here.
I'll stay over here. I'll stay over here. I'll stay in the car.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
You go talk to him. I'll stay in the car.
Yeah. So that's sort of our second story follows a man named John Wilkins. One day in 1946, John Wilkins was on his tractor tending to his farm when he notices something off in the distance. He gets off the tractor, he gets a little closer, and upon doing so, he realizes he has happened upon the spirits of the witches who had been killed in 1934.
Whoa, no! Now he's going to die in like a freak skiing accident, or tractor
His
accident,
tractor is going to go skiing right into a tree.
He's a farmer in the 30s. He's going to be dead in like 6 months. We're going to be sucked into some piece of equipment.
I feel like every death at this point is a natural death
because
it's just... Can't call it unnatural. Uh-huh. They seem to be acting, quote, seductive and flirtatious toward John.
Don't buy it.
I think he probably liked. I think he's into it. If I know a John, he's into it.
Now, I'm not sure why you ladies are here in the middle of my field, but I'm not going to ask too many questions.
But my pants are already around my ankles.
If one of you could help me with the coveralls, I'd really appreciate it. The zipper is stuck.
So he's sitting up there on his tractor, and he's looking over.
Mm-hmm.
And they see him, and they wait, what is this? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Okay, this is way better. Cut all that. So he sees them. They're being seductive and stuff. And then, so he gets off his tractor, and he goes over to look, take a peek. Mm-hmm. Be like, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't put his tractor in park.
Oh.
And the tractor catches up to him, and the tractor does indeed suck him in and run him over.
I feel very prescient about my views on 1930s farmers.
Again, you can't necessarily call it unnatural, because I bet that happened 3 times a day mm-hmm. per farm. But still.
When they buy a tractor, they're like, I promise you, sir, this tractor will outlive you and the next farmer and the one after him. I promise.
And we've only built it to last 8 years. Apparently, you can still see John's ghost riding his tractor through the fields near Dyer Lane.
Mm.
He's boring. All he does is ride around.
Oh. It'd be more fun if it was like the ghost of him being chased by the tractor throughout the field.
That would be fun. If you watch him long enough, he'll just ride off into the distance and disappear.
Oh, it's pretty boring for a ghost.
Yeah. Yeah. It's farm life, man.
Who told the story about finding seductive ladies in the field if he got run over by his tractor immediately afterwards? Is there like a third party here I'm not aware of?
The ghost did, I assume. There was obviously a journalist in the field at the time.
He's like scrawling in his own blood in the dirt. Saw it was sexy bitches. Forgot about tractor. Please pull up pants.
Don't let my pig see me like this. Our next story of haunting from Dyer Lane comes from 1954.
Mm.
Or possibly 1930.
Okay.
One of those sources say 1930. Some say 1954. Anyway, it's about this time that the Ku Klux Klan was active near Dyer Lane.
Mm.
They would often use the fields nearby for some of their cross burnings.
Okay.
One night in the summer of 1954 or 1930, the Klan had kidnapped a black man named Tyrone off the streets of Sacramento. And they brought him to the fields, and he was brought through a large group of them to an oak tree. On the way, as was fairly typical, he's going through the people, the Klan members, and they're all beating him and stuff. And by the time he gets through to the other end, he's in bad shape. And then they do hang him from the tree. And I do will say lynching is another trigger warning that you did miss.
Yeah, I should have tuned in. I really
should have listened to that actually. Yeah. In hindsight, yeah, there's some bad stuff here.
Was tractor violence another one? I'm not sure. I don't.
Yeah. Come violence, hither looks were the last lynching. One also. Yeah.
Which one?
Come hither looks.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah. Ethereal come hither looks.
I would have asked you to fast forward to that scene.
So he's gone. So people have spotted figures in white hoods walking around the field randomly.
Hmm.
Now those might be still just Klan members. I don't. Yeah, someone should check for sure. But we think they're ghosts. And Tyrone's body has also been seen hanging from a tree in the fields as well. You want to kind of? You didn't really make any jokes. Do you want to go back? Here, let's read it again. Let's take it a second time, and then you can just kind of say some funny things.
You can, you know, how about this? You just replay it. You hit some of the sound effects while you're reading the story.
Okay. So the Klan catches a man named Tyrone.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. all right. So the next story then comes from 1954. A little later that year, an officer was involved in a high-speed chase down Dyer Lane.
Oh.
Love a good rural high-speed chase down country lane.
Yes.
Hell yeah. Them boys are up to no good. He is supposedly chasing after someone who was suspected of being in the Klan and actually, as a matter of fact, involved in Tyrone's lynching.
Oh.
So, Sacramento Justice.
All right. Now we're getting somewhere.
Mm-hmm. So, the car chase is happening. The suspect stops his car, and he gets out, and he turns around. He fires a shot at the police officer.
Oh.
He's gonna take the car down.
Never want to do that.
You never want... No. I think rule number one of a high-speed chase is don't stop.
Right.
Rule number two, don't get out of the car. If there's a rule number three, it's don't then turn around and shoot at the police officer. Sure. They don't like it. They don't like it.
Makes them so mad.
Yeah. It's like if you put... If I say, give me a sandwich, and then you do, and then it has tomatoes on it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's exactly what this is. I get so mad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that cop's going to feel the same.
Shooting at a police officer, it's like shooting at bees. You don't want to do it.
No.
It doesn't fix them.
Nope.
It just makes them so much madder.
Nope. The bees don't. The bees don't learn any lessons from that other than.
Nope.
Pretty mad now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. but he kills the officer.
Oh, well.
So I guess in this case,
it
did work.
For a little while,
toward that specific goal.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This allowed the suspect to speed away, and he's never been caught.
Oh.
The sudden death caused the soul of the police officer to become restless. And now he drives up and down Dyer Lane, recreating the chase that ended his life. Speeding that ghost car.
Mm.
Love that. Many people have encountered the police officer's car behind them. Sometimes, suspecting that you are the suspect he was chasing, he'll turn his sirens on. But you'll know it's the ghost car because when this happens, you can see the lights, but you can't hear the siren. And if you look back to see the driver... His face that would appear unclear in the shadow, yeah? And sometimes he will simply speed right through your vehicle.
Oh.
Which is very rude.
That's how you know it's a ghost.
That is the biggest tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not quite sure until then. Then definitely ghost. People have even reported being physically injured after the car drives through their car.
Oh.
One woman suffered a broken leg. I guess he's getting more powerful with time.
This sounds like a real car, maybe. Like maybe a real car drove through her car?
Do you think that might be possible? I don't know.
He said he was a ghost car, and then he left. So,
so it must be a ghost. Another story begins in the year 1967. We're back in the fields of Dyer Lane, and this was around the time that a satanic cult known as the Order of, Amduceus.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. The Order of Amduceus begins to worship their cult's namesake, the demon, Amduceus.
Okay.
They're also trying to summon him, of course. You want to, yeah. Mm-hmm. What else is the point?
Right, yeah. Some might say, never meet your heroes.
They're going to ride that lightning, baby. They're going for it. it's a lot of work to summon a demon. It doesn't usually work out.
Yeah, otherwise we'd be like accidentally doing it all the time. Yeah, so you have to put some roadblocks in there. Make sure you're serious about it.
That's right. You got to really earn it. Mm-hmm. So they keep trying to earn it. One night they decide, you know what? This is not working. You know what we need? Guys?
Mm.
Human blood. Sacrifice.
Yeah. That makes sense.
So, let's see. At first, it seemed like they sacrificed one of their own members, who was referred to as Sister Lynn.
Oh.
However, upon looking into it further, Amity says that they did not sacrifice one of their own. They just kidnapped the sister of one of their members and sacrificed her instead.
Oh, that's worse. That's a lot worse.
That's way worse. That sucks. Let's see. After they had kidnapped Lynn, they brought her to the field where they were planning to summon this demon. They formed a circle around her and began their chants. And after they had finished chanting, the leader takes a large knife, plunges it right into Lynn's chest. As they do this, the sound of thunder and trumpets could be heard roaring across the field.
Hey, they did it.
Cacophonous music began to resonate through the field, and the trees bent toward the cult's circle, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
So, job well done, guys.
Yeah.
I think it was worth the sacrifice
of someone's sister. Sure.
Yeah. I don't know, she might disagree, but well, I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, she's not talking anymore. So yeah. The demon walks.
Well, okay. So good question. So the cult members believed they had finally summoned Amdocius, and after the summoning, some of the cult members died in mysterious ways.
Oh,
so he might be up there, but he's taking it out on them. The only one Amity could find was a member who was found on a park bench with his throat slit.
Huh.
No explanation, and the murder was never solved.
Okay.
People today claim that sometimes you can hear the cults chanting in the fields. It's also said that if you get too close, you will be severely scratched.
This could be the tractor as well. We don't really know. There's a lot of shit flying around out here.
Let's see. These scratches are usually deep and seem to have been made by something with three claws. So it could be... Could be tractor. Could be tilling season. Mm-hmm.
Could be tractor. Three claws. There's also, three women in a coven, from what I understand. So it could be three scratches.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be coven. Could be tractor. Could be demon.
That's a lot. People should stay off this road. I think is the lesson here.
It's like the weirdest tarot hand to get. Like, oh, I got coven, tractor, demon. Is that good? Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see. Other times you can see the cult members in their robes and hoods. And apparently she says, think clan outfits, but red with a big yellow A on the back of the hood.
Okay.
Like a reverse scarlet letter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like Alvin and the Chipmunks is what it sounds like.
It's very much like Alvin and the Chipmunks. Specifically Alvin. Yeah. Oh my god, what if they summoned Alvin? The scratches suddenly making a little bit more sense to me. These idiots. The next story begins in the year 1969 with a man named Ed Beacon. Ed lived in Oregon and was hitchhiking toward Eureka. Foolishly thought he would... Now that doesn't make any sense because Eureka is north of... Oregon and Eureka are both north of this place. So I don't know how much research Amity did here. But I don't know. For the first time, I'm starting to wonder how real this might be. He's hitchhiking somewhere, and he thought that it would be safe to camp out in the fields around Dyer Lane. Big open fields, what could go wrong?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Safest place to be. Later in the night, some people were driving down the lane, and they heard the sound of a man screaming out in the fields. So they stop their car and they get out there to go see what's happening. And they find Ed and they approach him and he was going into convulsions. They got him to calm down and asked him what was wrong. All he could do was yell, the chanting, but no one else could hear it. No one but Ed could hear the cult of Amdusius's chanting. Ed kept screaming until he stopped.
Well, yeah, that's how we all do it.
Oh, no, he appeared to have simply gone limp and died.
Oh, no, that's worse.
Oh, no, Ed died. He just died. In the years following his death, people driving through Dyer Lane have seen a man with a sack over his shoulder sticking his thumb out. Oh, he was a Bindle kind of hitchhiker. Yeah, stick and Bindle. Classic. When people pick him up, Ed tells them to take him to Reading. However, usually about halfway through the drive, he simply disappears from the driver's seat of the car. Let's see. One man, Michael Sorry, said he took Ed about, this says 15/166 miles. That's a big difference. to Reading before looking to his side to see that he had vanished. All right. Couple more stories here. One night in 1972, two drunk drivers were heading down the road, and after noticing the long, straight nature of the road, they were like, let's do a drag race.
Oh, two drunk drivers. Like,
yeah.
Like, I have two cars I need to get home.
Yeah.
Where are two drunk people to drive them home for me? Should we both get in one car? Absolutely not. I'm too
drunk to drive both. Yeah. Can someone please help me? During the race, one of them swerves off the road, hits a tree head-on. Force propels him through the windshield, into the tree, crushes his skull completely. And now you can sometimes see a man walking down the road with his skull bashed in,
ew,
blood dripping all down his neck.
So gross. This road sounds terrible.
Pretty horrible. I did tell you it's the most haunted road in the country. Okay, so these are all of the confirmed ghost stories.
Oh, okay, yeah. Can we get into the rumors now?
So so now that we've got those out of the way, let's hit the juicy ones. Still record of a lot of other criminal activity in the area that might have been caused by either the witch's curse or the cult summoning of the demon. Here are some examples. March 23rd, 1985, William Bill Mullen was stabbed to death in a high school gang brawl. That probably was just a fight, I think. August 20th, 2001, Nikolai Soltys murdered six of his family members, including his wife, one of his older children, and his three-year-old son.
I mean, bad.
Probably not so bad.
Yeah.
In fact, maybe the worst thing, because it seems actually probably true.
Right. Yeah.
Not that the other ones aren't.
Right.
Certainly.
But probably not. Maybe not ghost attributed. Maybe.
Not that we know of.
Yeah.
Let's see what Amity says. While these haven't caused any spiritual activity that we know of, they could still be involved in the hauntings by causing them in the future.
Huh.
So no ghosts on either end of these ones.
Okay.
No ghosts causing it, and they're also not ghosts, but they're not ghosts yet, is what we can say for sure.
Okay. Sure.
They may someday become ghosts, and we don't know that yet.
And we want to have something on the record that we talked about it.
Correct. Hashtag first. And that is the story of Dyer Lane in California, one of the most haunted roads in these United States.
How much do you think a house on Dyer Road costs?
Got to be so cheap.
Has to be. Right.
Yeah. How much do you think a tractor costs? Well, thank you so much to Amity for taking those notes. Sorry it took me so long to get around to telling the story, but that was very enjoyable. Thank you so much. And gosh, I'll tell you what. Is This a Ghost is a production of Smith Show Media. All the notes this week were not taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were from Patrick Dean. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. She also runs our website, and it's awesome. Our social media team consists of Jen Jones and Sam Murdoch, and our merch is done by Fox and Quill Studio. Hey, happy holidays, everybody. Go buy merchandise. That's going to do it for us. And I would just say, between now and next week, just don't go to Dyer Lane. Don't go down it.
Seems easy, right?
Yeah.
I don't even know where the fuck it is. I'm not
very actionable. Don't even Google map it. Mm-hmm. Just don't even go.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we won't be talking about you next time on Is This a Ghost?